We all know that, and God wins. He's already won. Satan's been defeated by Jesus. The problem is, we as his people, and I don't mean this as any condemnation, but just to think about, we as God's people do not take that defeat and what am I trying to say, and exercise it in our lives. We talk about Jesus defeating Satan, but Jesus is in me, my hope of glory, and through his power, I need to apply that defeat instead of, if Jesus has defeated Satan, he did, right, at the cross. He stripped him bare of all of his weapons. He exposed him. Well, with Jesus in me, I've got to do the same thing through the power of Christ within me is what I'm getting to, and we don't do that. Now, you may, but in Christians in general, and we allow the devil to get away with more than he should ever get away with because we do not, we don't exercise that victory. We need to raise our Christian banners and say, Jesus has won this thing, and that's it. You're defeated, you little worm. Out of here in the authority of Jesus' name. Instead, we let him get away with stuff and harass us and pick on us and just mess our lives up, and we don't have to do that. But every Christian in this room, you have, greater is Jesus in you than he that's in the world. And the devil has no authority over you. None whatsoever. And so let him have any. Don't even give in to his lies and all the junk that he does. Because here's what the devil will do. He'll say, God doesn't love you that much. You have blown it this time. You're not good enough. Is all that true? Well, I'm not good enough, that's for sure. I can't ever work my way into heaven. And he'll tell you, that word you just said, that act that you just performed, the things you were thinking out there on the highway, you must not even be saved at all. Anybody ever struggle with this stuff? And all these questions? Anybody in here? Yeah. Could a saved person do that? Yeah, they can. Why? Because we still live in this body, and in here is a carnal nature, and we wrestle with it all the time. But Satan has been defeated. His servants do not have the power that they're trying to make us think they have. You feel so helpless. You look at what Congress is doing or not doing and all the stuff out there, and you feel helpless. And God said, well, I gave you prayer. And I told you that prayer can move mountains. Faith moves mountains. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer will do anything. Prayer brings miracles. God says, I respond. Pray. If you think you can't do anything, that sounds like, is that all? That's enough. That's more than enough. And through your prayers, God does a great and mighty things. I just wonder if in general, how can I prove or disprove? I can't, but I just wonder, because of what I see keep happening, are God's people in general together praying? Is the church of Jesus Christ praying, really praying? And there is a concerted effort now, which I'm glad to hear. And I can't remember, it's in August, you remember? Or September, where they're asking, they're going to be a bunch go to Washington and pray, and they're asking everybody to pray. It's a movement, and it's like, I don't get in a lot of movements. Do you remember the 18th through 27th of August? September, I'm in the wrong month. September. Well, start praying now. But there is a concerted thing, and I believe in that. I really believe God's people come together in concerted prayer, put it together, and appeal to the Lord, and take authority in Jesus' name and come against these things. You'll see some things happening. You will see people. Pray for God to expose all these behind Antifa, everything that's going on. Say, God, in Jesus' name, expose them. Bring them out. Open our eyes and ears to see the truth, to hear the truth, to act on the truth. Expose who's behind all this. Who's paying for this? Who are the leaders in Antifa? And all the Black Lives Matter movement, and it's like, are you against that? I'm against picking out any specific group to the exclusion of everybody else. And I'll tell you why. This Bible does not allow me to pick on a specific group. It says to love your neighbor, and doesn't make any difference what color they are. Is everybody with me? And I know that is not politically correct, and I don't give a rip. And neither should you. Because Jesus Christ died for anyone, everyone who put their faith in him. And this whole thing, and I'm not on some political deal here, it's like, but if you'll go in, and I know I'm out here, but I want you to do this. I already watched a video on this, and they pulled this guy. They pulled this guy instantly. He showed you how to go into the Black Lives Matter's website, how to follow the links. He showed you how to do that and find out where the money's going. Go do that. Yes. And the top two at the top were Bernie Sanders and Biden, not Black Lives Matter. No. And then several of them were George Soros groups. You'll be appalled at where this money's going, because it's not for any lives. It's for Marxism. And it's a movement. And so, you know, there's the deal. That's the deal. So what we want to come back to today, and on this journey, what do we need? As we go through the journey of learning to understand God and how he works in this world and his power in our lives, what do we need in the journey of getting along with people, understanding people, predicting people, discernment? Pray for discernment. Every Christian in here, there's the gift of discernment, but every Christian here has discernment through the Holy Spirit. Pray for God to give you wisdom, discernment, and you know something else that every Christian in this place needs? Courage and boldness. Pray for boldness. Pray to know when to speak and speak with the authority of the living God, and then pray to know when to not say a word. There's a time to fight and a time to maneuver your forces a little bit. Is everybody with me? Okay, everybody's looking. Nod your head if you're okay. Everybody good? Okay, okay, we're good. So what are some things we need as we go through the journey of life and learning to deal with all the stuff and the struggles and corrupt governments and, one thing after another? So this is what led into this. If you made notes on this somewhere, you'll say, you hit on this passage somewhere. Sure. Man, there's passages I preach on, and everybody does. Sooner or later, you're going to hit the same ones. But it'll be a different kind of message. But in Psalms 86, and so if you have notes somewhere, you'll get new notes today and different notes. But we need this. As we journey through life, we need to be able to stop and say, God, here's what it says. But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy. And that's probably, that's right, we don't have that. I always turn to that. You don't have it today, so I'll have to read it to you. But in Psalms 86, write this down, verses 15 and 16, and we'll go into 17. He says, but you, O Lord, are a God of what? Compassion and mercy. Everybody needs that. And what else does it say? Slow to get angry. And filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Look down and have mercy on me, and give your strength to your servant, and save me, the son of your servant. And here's what verse 17 says. Send me a sign of your favor. Then those who hate me will be put to shame. For you, O Lord, help and comfort me. Is that a beautiful passage? And so we're going to break it down, going to dissect it, and take it piece by piece here, and just give some insight, because on the journey of life, as we're learning to deal with setbacks, disappointments, disappointing people, stuff we can't possibly comprehend or understand, here's what we need to know that God is. And by the way, all of these things it's saying about God, that's his character. Before we go any further, as we go through these things, that's the character that God wants in you and me. When he says, I want in the image of Christ, and in Romans 8, it talks about, we were predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. That's in Romans 8. And so what are we being conformed to? To be people of compassion and mercy. And boy, here's one right here. And I don't know, this compassion and mercy, you would say, yeah, we can work on that. But how many of you really struggle to get the other part of that verse? Slow to get angry. Anybody struggling with that one right there? Okay, there's one. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Okay. Yeah, I know. And so... Yeah, there's a mark in the book on that one. Yeah, your name's about to be removed from that book of life if you don't quit. So I got that, or from life. Anyone else? Yeah, the slow to get angry thing. And when I read that, it's like, why did he put that in there? Because if God is a God of compassion and mercy and slow to get angry, which I'm glad He is, that's also what He wants me to be. And He's filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. And I look at that and say, unfailing love. Do y'all know what that means? It means it never messes up. You know, is that what He wants? He wants me to love and never stop loving? Are you kidding me? Can you just look at certain faces on the news and you just automatically, one, you get angry, and then the next thought is how you could do them in? Really, don't you? I mean, is there some that just, if you're drinking milk, it just sours instantly when you see them? And so here He is talking about unfailing love and faithfulness. And so He says, look down and have mercy and give your strength to your servant. Listen, I have to pray that all the time. I have to ask God, please look down and have mercy because I can't do this. Do you ever say to God, I can't do this? Did you know one of the greatest confessions a Christian can ever make is to say to God, I can't keep your word. I can't do this. You will never realize God's true power within you until you admit to God you can't do it yourself. And I have to tell God, there's a lot of things in this work, you know, and I hear something from somebody and it's like, I can't deal with this. There's certain things that people will share. It just, same with all of us, right? Somebody ever tell you something and it hits on one of your pet issues that you're just, and you're thinking, I can't deal with this. And yet you've got to. And you're saying in your heart while they're talking, I can't handle this. This is something that is my thing. I hate that sin. I hate that. I just can't stand it. And yet God is saying, but I put you here to minister to this person who's struggling with that issue. And suddenly you're having to admit to God, I can't take this. I cannot sit here and listen to this unless God gives me the strength. And He does. And friends, every day of our lives, when we see that we're not cutting it, we're not loving, or we're about to lose it, or we are losing it, that's when you cry out to God and say, I can't do this. I can't stop being mad here. I'm losing my temper. I'm hating this person. There's a certain member or two of Congress that I could just see their face on TV. And I myself, it's like, I just can't muster any thoughts of love whatsoever. And being Tony and my ways of thinking, you know, there's one particular individual, which we all know who it is. And I just blurt it out, you know. It's like, who do you talk to at home? The walls. God, whoever, you know. And it's like, what'd you blurt out? I thought, oh, and I did. I said this. Oh, dear God, I would hate to wake up to that in the morning. Isn't that an awful thought for a pastor to think? And there she was, and I thought, it was like you just get in your truck and floor it, right? I mean, just run off a cliff somewhere. And it's like, and give the life insurance money to somebody else. You know, anyway, and that's just me. I mean, it was just like, and then you're saying, thank you, God, I didn't make that mistake. Thank you, somebody, some other fool got there. And met that woman. It was, that's an awful thing to think. And then God is saying, that's an awful thing to think. And it's like, it was even a worse thing to say, wasn't it? And it's like, yes. So let's break this down, not keep you here all day. So as we journey and deal with these things, that are going on, and we know we're being lied to. Listen, friends, we're being lied to. We know that. And we know that there's a huge cover-up out here. And we know all this stuff. It's obvious. And everybody that's trying to tell the truth is being shut down. We're very, very close, to the same thing that the KGB has done in Russia for up 10 years. Control all the media, propaganda, give you what they want you to hear. We're very close. But we're not there. We're not there. We can pray this down. So what's the first thing? Thank you, O Lord, that you, O Lord, are God of compassion and mercy. Let's look at the God of compassion. What's he talking about? Let me give you Hebrews 4. We do not have a high priest. Listen to this. He's talking about Jesus. He said, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in every point tempted as we are, yet he did not sin. Go read that. That's Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, we have a high priest who cannot, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. So what's he saying? He said, Jesus can understand everything. That's why we need to be honest. I can't do this, Lord. I'm losing my temper. I'm feeling this. And you know what he's saying to you? I know what that feels like. I'll tell you something else he'll say to you. He'll say to you in a righteous way, I got mad a few times. You know what he's going to say to you when you tell him, I'm getting mad, I'm losing it? He's going to say, yeah, I know what it feels like because I got upset and walked through the temple and kicked over every table and chair in there and ran everybody out. And I know what that feels like. I can help you with that. And I can help you keep it in control. And I can help you have, we call that righteous indignation, and he did it without sinning. That's right. He didn't beat anybody head. He didn't cuss anybody. But did he go in there and wreck the place? So Jesus, in his day, had what we would call in our day a good old-fashioned bar fight, and there's a knockdown drag out, and everybody ran. Arnold Schwarzenegger has nothing on this guy. Because Jesus walked in there, think about it, one man in the power of God, one woman in the power of God. In this case, there's one man in the power of God, the Son of God, but he's fully human, fully God, and he walks in there, and not one person in the entire temple area took him on. Not one. Do you know you have that power? How do I know that? Jesus Christ lives in you. Your body is God's temple. And Christ in you, your hope of glory, and I'll keep saying that and saying that. Do you realize that if you allow his presence to flow in and through you, you can do the same thing? And the devil will run from you. Jesus knocked that whole place apart, and he said, don't you be ripping my people off. I'm using modern language, but you know, that's what he was saying. You're stealing from my people. You're selling inferior sacrifices to them for the, you know, birds and animals, and knock it off. And he cleaned, and they ran them out. And so when you come to him and say, I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm hurt, I'm sick of this. He's saying, I know what that feels like. I'm a great high priest. I know how to help you here. He was tempted in every point as we are, yet he didn't sin. Because our problem is we'd go in there and I don't know, what is it with us? We start off okay, and the next thing you know, we got a whole mouthful of words coming out. Like we need to emphasize it with something. Don't we? I mean, it's like you just can't do something aggressive without having a few words to back it up. In my day in the military, it was, you know, I mean, they actually would tell you, you know, and the sergeant, we left it to as much of the sergeants as we could, but once in a while, they tell you, you know, you're never going to be able to emphasize what you need to say without throwing in a few words with it. You can say, get that dang truck out of the way, or you can say, get that boom, boom, that truck in that boom, boom, they were going out of the way. And it's like, and then we come into life and we're just geared for that, and we've got to add all these extra things, and that's where we mess up. And he's saying, you don't have to do that. Jesus just came in there and kicked it over, knocked it down, and never sinned, and they ran. You see the power? He's a God of compassion. He says, listen, I understand what it's like. He said, so let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So what does he say? When you feel yourself losing it, when you're getting distressed, becoming depressed, when this journey of life is starting to get to you, he said, I want you to come boldly before me, just throw it out here, bring it to me, and say, Jesus, I can't handle this. I'm letting it get to me. It's making me angry. It's making me bitter. It's destroying my soul. And he said, if you come to me, I will help you. just like that. So don't wait. So let me give you a few things. This God of compassion, you say, and this is a question I'm asked a lot. Well, when I'm in this fix, you know, and I'm going through this stuff, well, just where is God? And my answer is, wherever you need Him to be. If you think, I know you don't, but I'm just saying anyone, if you think that church is the only place to find God, you're mistaken. As a matter of fact, all of us have been in churches and we looked all over the place and we couldn't find God anywhere. We found a lot of church. We found a lot of denomination. We found a whole lot of religious things, but did you find God? God is where you need Him to be, and I'll tell you where God is and where He always wants to live. In here. In me. In my heart. In your heart. That's where God is, and He's wherever you need Him to be. And it's like, and I've had this question asked, and so have you. Would God go in a bar? Would He go in a strip joint? Would God actually go in there to bring somebody out? Is there any place God won't go? I haven't found one yet. And my point is, does He condone any of those activities? No. But will He go in there to get you? You better believe it, and I'll tell you how you know it. If you've ever, and I just used a couple of those things, but if you ever found yourself in a place you knew you weren't supposed to be, and you started, and you were fighting it, but you felt convicted, God was there, or you wouldn't have been convicted. He was working. He was saying, you're not going to outrun me. Don't think you can go into some place I won't go. Yeah, He will. He's where you need Him to be. And God, through Jesus Christ, is feeling everything you feel. Listen, that's the whole point of Jesus coming, is to save us, but to also, yeah, bring us salvation through believing in Him. But what else did he want to show us? God cares what we feel, and He cares what we're going through, and He cares that we can't handle it. He understands, He feels, and He knows why we're the way we are. So when you can't understand people, you can't figure out what's happening in the human race. And I ask this question a lot, and that's always the theys, because I'm not ever sure who the theys are. But why are they saying that? Why are they pulling this stuff off of Facebook? Why are they, and I ask here and then, why are you doing that? Are you afraid of the truth? Is that it? Yeah, you are. You're afraid we might actually come out of this thing. What you're afraid of is that we might vote for someone that you don't want us to vote for. I'll tell you who my vote's for today. My vote is for Jesus Christ and anybody who believes in Him. I vote today for that. I do. That's where I stand. Let's look at the next one. He said, you're a God of compassion and mercy, a God of mercy. God's rich in mercy with the love that He loves us, Ephesians 2. What is mercy? You ever ask yourself, what is mercy? Mercy is God. Here's mercy. Mercy is God saying, in spite of all your shortcomings and your sins, all your mess ups, mercy is God saying, I offer you acceptance, forgiveness, love, a new beginning, and another chance just because you believe in my Son, Jesus Christ. That's mercy. Mercy is when we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Mercy is God saying, Son, you have blown it today. You have messed up royally. But because you've asked my Son Jesus in your heart, I forgive you. I'm going to give you another shot and another shot and another shot. I'm going to put up with you. I'm going to help you. We're going to grow you through this. You're going to learn through your sins. You're going to learn through your mistakes. And this is one of the things I want to say to you. You don't hear me preaching, don't sin, don't sin. I can't tell you that because I know we're all going to sin. But you know what I will tell you? If you sin, learn from it. That's where the mistakes in life come from, is we don't learn from what we mess up in. And we do it again. Has anybody ever repeated stupidity? Oh, two hands over here, okay. Can you see God saying? Oh, you know, it doesn't say this anywhere in Scripture. It's just me in my mind. I can just see God going. They never learn. I was seeing double hands on that one. Oh, that's great. Yeah, you know, it's like how many times do we have to go through this? How many times have you said to God, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me, I repent, I'm never going to say that again. Has anybody done that in here? Yeah. I'll never do that sin again. Or has anybody in this room ever seen the sins of somebody else and said, I'll tell you one thing, that's one sin I'll never do. You just set yourself up to go right down the river, didn't you? Well, you learned somewhere in life, don't say that. Don't say you won't ever do it, because you just are next in line. But yet, in spite of all that, He's the God of mercy. And mercy is saying, I still forgive you, even though you are one of my less smart children. I still forgive you, and we're going to get there. And I will give you another chance and another beginning, and I accept you, and I love you unfailingly. That's what mercy is, and God says there's so much of it. It just keeps flowing and keeps flowing and keeps flowing. It's just beautiful. So on your journey of life, when you mess up, when you run into these issues, Jesus has already been there before you. He's been tempted. He's been hit. He's been hurt. He's been gossiped about. He's been beat to pieces. And he's been killed, murdered. We talk so politely of the death of Jesus. Jesus Christ was murdered by religion. Religion killed Jesus. Don't blame the Romans. They tried to let him go. It was religion that killed Christ. And you think that over and study it. It was the religious group, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. You know, Pilate wouldn't let him go. Oh no, we're not going to have that. Let's kill this good guy, this perfect man. That's what religion does. It can't stand perfection. You know why? Because all those who are religious and not spiritual are always striving for perfection and falling short, and they hate anybody else that's ahead of them. That's the way it works. Let's move on. Mercy, the God of mercy, I want to tell you this. I've seen this in my life. I see it all through Scripture, and so do you. This merciful God of ours is the rebuilder of broken hearts. He's the father of the fatherless. He's God and he's father, and he's Savior and Lord, but he's also a brother, and he's also a friend to everyone who needs him. Always where you need him to be. And he's always God and he's always father. But I'll tell you something that's really neat about God. It's knowing that sometimes he's just my friend when I need friendship. Any of you ever been just starved for true friendship? In this world, you get to feeling like you can't trust anybody. And there's God, and he's saying, I'm your friend. I'm your friend. Every secret you tell me, I'll never tell. Nothing you say or do will ever make me walk out that door. I'm your friend. I've got you back. And I'll be there for you even if the whole world stands against you. I'm your friend. That's who God is. Let's look at the God that's slow to anger. I want to tell you this. If there's anything, and I love the compassion and the mercy, but if there's any quality of God that I like more than any other, it's that he's slow to get angry at me. Don't you? God has had every right in my life, who's he not? But he's had every right to take me out a long time ago. And if it really hasn't he? Is there any of us? I mean, he's had a right and should have taken us out. But it says he does not punish us as we deserve. And he's slow to anger. Romans 3 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Let me say this to you today. It is not the nature of Christ to be angry, but to forgive, to redeem. When you pray, God, take away my anger, you're also praying. And so you may as well go ahead and say the words, because what you're praying for is, I want you to put in my heart, I want you to put in my heart the power of love to forgive myself and to forgive others. Don't misconstrue forgiveness with tolerance. I don't have to tolerate sin. I do have to forgive the sinner. Everybody with me? I may have to boldly stand against a sin. It does not mean that I can't have compassion for the sinner. You say, that is really... you can't do it by yourself. It takes the power of Jesus Christ in you to do that. To say, you know what? I care about you, but I hate that sin. And I'm not going to have that sin in my house. That is not going to be tolerated. But I love you. And I want you to ask Jesus in your heart. And I want you to let Him forgive you that. Take that sin out of your life. And I'll help you. But we're not going to tolerate it. And you're not going to carry it on here. But I love you all the way. And friends, that's tough. But that's the way it is. It's the nature of Christ not to be angry, but to forgive and to let it go. God knows we'll sin, and He knows that others will sin against us. And don't you forget that. God knows you'll sin, but He knows other people will sin against you, and He'll give you the grace to overcome that. I know a lot of people, and they won't go to church, and they say, I got hurt in church. What happened to you in church? Well, I told somebody something, and they spread it all over the church. I did this and there it went. And then, you know, and it's like, or, and here's the big one, I know, and it's still there in a lot of places. They'll say, I got a divorce and I wasn't welcome anymore. Been in many a church, pull that stunt. Many a person didn't feel like they had a place to go. But God knows you'll sin, and He knows others will sin against you. And I know He knows you've been hurt, whatever's happening in your life. And He knows people have done you wrong. And He's saying, I know it, and vengeance is mine. Thus saith the Lord, I will repay. But let me give you the power to forgive those people. It doesn't mean we're dismissing the sin. I'll deal with that. But you let it go so you can be free in me. That's what it's about. Don't let the sins of other people or your own sins make you a captive. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And God makes the way to get it right through Jesus Christ. And I say to everybody in this room, if you're not sure about your relationship with Christ, be sure now. Just ask Him, Jesus, come into my heart. I repent of my sins. I want to turn from them. I ask you to forgive me. I place my faith in you as the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins, rose again the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for me right now. Jesus, I put my faith in you. Be my Savior and my Lord. Do that right now, and you have all this. He's a God of compassion and mercy, and He's slow to anger. He didn't come here to be angry. He came here to love. I need to wrap this up. You're saying, yes, you do. Okay, so I will. He's loving and faithful. And this is the wrap up. We're not going to take the whole thing and break it down, but just this part of it. It says He's a loving God. And let me read that again. It says, you, O Lord, a God of compassion, mercy, slow to get angry. And what's He filled with? He's filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. So what does that mean? Unfailing love, unfailing faithfulness. I want to close with saying this on these two together right here. Unfailing love and faithfulness. What does 1 John say? We love because what? He first loved us. And God is love. Love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. As I was looking at this passage, I wrote this down because God just really kind of, you know how He'll lunge into your heart and just say, the words just come to you. And this is what came to my heart on that. He said, my love, God's love for you is larger, deeper, greater than all our sins and all our shortcomings. And He pressed it in my mind, my heart. My love for you and my people is greater than your shortcomings. It's deeper. It's higher. It's broader. It's so much more. And it's like my people, and you included, point at me, you know, you and my people, you minimize my love and exaggerate the sins and the meanness. And you don't give me credit for being bigger than all your sins. And I don't sometimes, do you? I get so caught up in what the government's doing or not doing these days, or the CDC or whatever it is. And I forget, wow, His love and faithfulness is so far beyond this, so much deeper, higher. Why am I not caught up in that and saying, when I hear stuff, hear the trash, God, I call out to You. Your love and faithfulness is so much more. I can't trust these people, but I can trust You. And You said You'll deal with them. And You said, you told me, what has God said? I believe it. I don't know how. You say, I don't know how He does it, but did God say in His word that He would take the wealth of the wicked and give it to the righteous? Didn't He say that? You ought to be praying for that every day. Why aren't you praying for that? God, take the wealth of that wicked person and remember Me. Well, aren't you righteous? Some of you are looking at me funny. Because you know why? You know your works aren't righteous, but you are righteous. You know why? When you ask Jesus in your heart, His righteousness becomes your righteousness. He makes you right standing with God because of your faith in Him. If you know God, listen to me, if you know God, then you know true love. Now people say, I just don't know love. I just haven't experienced love. Do you believe in Christ? Yeah, sure I do, but I haven't experienced love. It's like, then you haven't experienced Christ. Because if you've experienced Jesus Christ in your life, friend, you have experienced love. And I pray His love will overflow our hearts as rivers of living water right now. And I put this note. I'm going to take the time for a note, okay? Because it's a question I'm hit with a lot. People say, and not a question, but a statement. It's like, Tony, I'm afraid to love. Anybody ever heard that? Have you ever said it? Okay. I'm afraid to love. And when I ask why, do you feel that way? Here's the most common response. I've been hurt. I loved and I got hurt. I don't want to get hurt. And then I'm looked at and it's like, won't I get hurt if you love? And you know what my answer is? Yes. You cannot love. You cannot love people and not get hurt. Pain is always there somewhere with true love. Don't you hear me? But there's so much more joy and peace and happiness and contentment when you love. But love invokes pain. And let me tell you why. Because people that are angry and bitter and have become hardened and mean because of the things of this world, the thing they will fight and despise the most is love. If you've been through bad relationships, you'll have a hurt, a bitterness, a pain, a reluctance in here to love. Because love brought you sorrow. You thought you were in love. You believed you were in love and found out the other person was not in love with you. And they hurt you and they did awful and terrible things. And God knows all this. That's why we need to understand that His compassion is so real and God's power to heal is there. It's all there for us. And so it's like, Tony, so what is it that God wants us to understand about love? He wants us to look at Jesus Christ. Was love painful for Christ? Yes. It killed Him. It killed Him. Don't you see it? Love killed Jesus. He loved and they killed him for it. But there's, it doesn't end there. Listen to me. Because you loved and got hurt, it killed a piece of you. But you're missing something. And this is vital. Jesus was killed because of love. But he was born again from the grave. He was brought from death because of love. And even though love caused him pain and suffering and death, love brought victory. It raised him up, unconquerable, never again to be put on the cross. All that pain and bitterness and suffering from this world was overcome because he rose from the dead from the love of God. Don't you see it? And that's what God's telling us here. He's faithful. He won't allow more to be put on you than you can stand, and he'll give you a way of escape. But he's saying to you in all realism, I'm a God of compassion. I'm a great high priest. And though you may have been hurt because of love, I can raise you out of that to new life and give you the power of love that's victorious over all pain, all sin, over all the things of this world. Love has its hurt. But oh, friends, be faithful, because love has its victory. And you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and God, give us the grace, your grace, to forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation or trial or testing, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours, Father, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. All honor to you, Lord. Help us, God. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for bringing us here this day. We call on you for safe driving back home. We call on you for a week, Father, blessed by your presence. A week that's conquered by the resurrecting power of love. Above all things, thank you, God, that you understand. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you never give up on us. And thank you for being our God, our Savior, and our Lord. And thank you for being our friend. And thank you for being our love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for being here.